Last verse, they talked about the sin of respecting people. The sin of respecting people. This morning, we want to talk about the biblical faith and works. Biblical faith and works. Let's begin by reading verse number 14 together. What does it profit, my brethren, for a man may say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? Now, there's a big battle between faith and works, and the battle was raging in Luther's day, for example, and others. They said that they don't like James. They say it's a right strong epistle. They think it's terrible because it contradicts faith in God that Romans and Paul are so clear about. This is faith regarding the people, faith that works with people, and so this is the battle. But what it says here, what does it profit if a man say he has faith? We don't know if that's genuine faith or not, but this faith, by the way, is an article with it. It's the doctrines of the Scriptures. The doctrine says he believes all those doctrines, and he doesn't have any works. Can that kind of faith save him? That's the question that's asked here in this verse. As far as believing and works, in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, we know that one. Let's say that one together. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Saved by grace, works follow, but not precede. We don't save by works. In Titus 3, and verse 8, we know that one also, I believe. This is a faithful saying. And word is expectation, I affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Faithful saying, and affirm constantly that us believing in God might be careful. Now we've got to maintain that after we're saved. And in Titus 3 and verse 14, Paul says, but let ours also, the Christians, maintain good works for necessary uses, that they may not be unfruitful. That's what Christians do, fruitful works after we're saved. As far as faith saving us with the Lord, that's what saves. Many verses on that in Acts 15:9. God put no difference between us and them, that is, Jews and Gentiles, purifying their hearts by faith, genuine faith. In Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, you know that the just shall live by faith. Faith, genuine faith. In Romans 3:22, we perhaps know this one. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. Genuine faith with the Lord brings salvation. In Romans 3, verse 28, therefore we conclude a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That's the way God sees it. Genuine faith without any works or deeds. In Romans 4 and verse 5, we know that one. But to him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Genuine faith justifies before God. And then in Romans 5 verse 1, we know that one. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then in Galatians 2 and verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even as we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ. So this is the way God saves us, by genuine faith, not by our works. Very clear. In Galatians 2 and verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, we already said that, by grace you are saved. So these are some of the things. Then in Hebrews 10 and verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. And then in 1 Peter 1 and verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. It's crystal clear that in Paul's day and in Paul's writings, the thing that justifies us, declares us absolutely, totally righteous before God, is genuine faith. Not false faith, not fake faith, but genuine faith. Let's read verse number 15 together. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food. There's an illustration. This is an illustration of what we have before us. Here's a man who's got a problem here, and people are in need of daily food, and they're naked, they have no proper clothing. Let's read verse number 16 also. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Now here's a person that says he has great faith, and he's going to provide something, doesn't do anything about it. He just tells the people to depart in peace, doesn't help them at all. Doesn't be warm and filled, that's almost like faith believing something without any fruits or works to go with it. And doesn't give them anything needful. What does it profit? Others, there must be some results in what we believe. If we genuinely believe something, there should be results, and there should be fruit. There should not be emptiness. And this was an empty promise, an empty thought. How can you tell a person to go and just automatically be filled when you don't give them anything to eat? It's impossible. Let's read verse number 17 together. Even so, faith that hath not works is dead. You know, genuine faith, if there's nothing to go with it, it's dead. No production. Now, sometimes this faith is fake faith, phony faith. And we'll see that a little bit later. But if it's genuine faith, there should be some fruit, some results. The Lord Jesus said, by your deeds you shall know them, by your works you shall know them, by their fruit you shall know them. Mm-hmm. He shall know us by their fruit. So a person says, well, I have genuine faith, but doesn't ever want to pray, doesn't ever want to read his Bible, doesn't ever want to come to service as God, doesn't want to witness, doesn't want anything to do with the Lord, and maybe swears and curses and don't be silly, and says he has faith without the deeds. That's not the kind of faith that's going to save anybody. That's fake, it's phony. Genuine faith produces works, fruit of some kind to the advantage of the Lord. And if you don't have that genuine faith, without any genuine works, it's dead. No proof of it. It's valueless indeed. Let's read verse number 18 together. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, I will show thee my faith by my works. Now here's a man that says, oh yes, I've got faith, I've got genuine faith. But you don't know it. He or she just lives like the world, the regular type of people. I have works. And then the problem is, show me thy faith without thy works. In other words, how can anybody get into anybody's heart and mind and see faith? You've got to see, well, is there something different about that person? Before they were saved, there's one way now after the saved. Is there a difference? Is there fruit? Show me thy faith without thy works. How are you going to tell a person that has real genuine faith if we don't see anything, no results of that faith? I will show thee my faith by my works. If there are genuine works, genuine deeds for the Lord, as it says in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship once we're saved, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. After we're genuinely saved, works follow, and the fruit of the Spirit follows. And without those works, the faith is dead, and you wonder whether it's really genuine faith after all. Let's read verse number 19 together. Thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. What kind of faith is that? Just believe there's one God. But there's no genuine faith in that, any more than there's genuine faith in the devils. They believe that their God is there, but it's not genuine, it's not saving faith. They tremble. In Mark 1, in verse 32, at even, when the sun was set, they brought unto him, the Lord Jesus, all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. Then in verse 34, and they healed many that were sick with various diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. The devils knew intellectually who the Lord Jesus was, but they didn't trust him as their Savior. So that's false belief, false faith. And then in Mark 5, in verse 2, and when they were come out of the ship, immediately, this is the Lord Jesus came out of the ship, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And then in verse 6, he saw Jesus afar off. He ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? He knew the Lord Jesus was the Son of God. He had believing that. That didn't save the devil. There's no fruit. It's fake, phony faith. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And he had said, come out of him, thou unclean spirit. And then in verse 10 of that same chapter, Mark chapter 5, and he besought him, this devil, that he would not send him away out of the country. And the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine. So they knew that Jesus had the power to send into swine instead of in somewhere else. And they wanted to go in there. They had belief in that. And then in Luke chapter 4, verse 41, the devils also came out, many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. They had it right. He is and was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But that was fake. That was empty faith. They believed, but they didn't have trusting, genuine faith in the Lord Jesus as their Savior. They just believed something about him. He rebuking them, suffered them not to speak. And so, but they knew that he was Christ. A lot of the people didn't know he was Christ. The Pharisees didn't know he was Christ. But the devils did. But that faith didn't save them. That was fake and phony. Let's read verse number 20 together. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Genuine faith without any works is dead. It's unfruitful. It's no results of it. It's dead. I didn't say that. God said it. And those Christians who maintain that they're born again and saved, maybe genuinely, if they have no fruits, no results, no works, it's a dead faith, it's dead end. God wants us to, as it says in the book, the chapter of Matthew, let your light, speaking of those that are saved, believers, so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We must have fruit, not simply faith. It's not profitable to anybody. It's dead. Dead as a doornail. Let's read verse number 21 together. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now, he wasn't justified before God by works. Justified by people by his works. By men, by us, as we read about Abraham. God doesn't need our works to justify. Genuine faith he sees. But genuine faith people can't see. They've got to see fruits of that faith to know that there's faith inside of us. In Abraham's case, when he offered his son Isaac on the altar in Genesis 22, verses 1 to 14, here's an example. God did tempt or test Abraham. And he said to Abraham, he said, behold, here am I. God said, take thou thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. At the end of the land of Moriah, offering him there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. A man without faith would not do this. But Abraham had undying faith in the Lord, who said, I will multiply thy seed as the sand of the seashore and as the stars of heaven. Abraham believed God. He's going to do that. Yet he's going to kill my son. That's what he told him to do. Abraham rose up early and obedient. Verse 3, and he saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, he had some witnesses there, and Isaac his son cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went on his way to the place which God had told him. On the third day, must have taken 2 or 3 days to get there perhaps, on the third day, Abraham looked up his eyes, saw the place afar off. Abraham said to the young men that were with him, these two young men, abide ye here with the ass, right here at the foot of the mountain. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. That come again is in first person, not singular, but plural. And we will come again unto you. That's faith. He's going to kill his son. God's going to raise up his son. He's going to come back again. Because God's promised he's going to have his seed multiplied as the stars of heaven, sign of the future. We will come again to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son. That's the wood. Took the fire in his hand, took a knife, and laid both of them together. Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire, the wood, left out the knife. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went up. Isaac didn't know he was going to be the lamb. But Abraham knew he wasn't going to be the lamb. God would provide another lamb, a real lamb, for an offering. Went up both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham was obedient, went right to the place. He brought what God told him to bring, went to the place, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him in the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand, put the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, repeat his name twice, sure he heard it. And he said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon thy lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. It was generous faith that ended up in works and deeds. I know you fear me, Lord, the Lord said, because you're going to obey me. I know thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went, took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son, in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Yireh. The Lord will see to it. Yireh means to see. The Lord will see to it and provide, as he did this day. Hebrews 11:17, it's interesting analysis of this miracle. By faith Abraham, when he was tried or tested, offered up Isaac. God says he offered him up. Even though he didn't, as far as God's concerned, he offered him up. He was faithful. He offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise, that is of the multiplication of the sand as the sand of the sea and the stars multitude, he offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up. Abraham believed the resurrection, even from the dead. Notice the next phrase. From whence also he received him in a figure. He received him up in a figure. It was just as if Abraham slew his son Isaac, and God raised him up and resurrected him from the dead. Perfect picture of genuine faith that was evidenced by deeds and works. And I'm sure those young men, when they came down from the mountain, they didn't know what happened up there. But Abraham knew what was happening, and Isaac knew what happened. And there they came in promise, we will come again to you. Let's read verse number 22 together. Seest thou not how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? It was made complete, wrought with his works. Genuine faith in the Lord, but wrought along with his works, faith was made perfect. That word perfect or complete in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11, Paul said, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect. In other words, grow up and be mature. Be mature. In Colossians 1 and verse 28, Paul says, from prison in Rome, from whom we preach, Lord Jesus, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man, in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ, mature, grown up in Christ. In Colossians 4 and verse 12, talks about Epaphras, who was a servant of Christ. He greets you. Again, he's writing from the Roman prison, always abounding fervently for you in prayers. What do you pray for? That you may stand perfect, mature, complete, grown up in Christ, and complete in all the will of God. And in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17, we read that all the time in our services, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And then in Hebrews 13:21, the Lord make you perfect or mature or complete in every good work to do his will. And 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, the God of peace, writes the Apostle Peter, who hath called you, God of grace, all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, subject. After you suffered, make you mature and complete, and all the Lord would have for you. And so Abraham, by his works, revealed his faith in the Lord by what he did. And that's what we've got to do as well. Reveal by what we do that our faith is real, our faith is genuine. It's not fake, it's not empty, but it's fruitful. Let's read verse number 23 together. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. Now notice, the scripture was fulfilled. Abraham believed God. See, this is genuine faith, and that faith, it was imputed unto him by that faith for righteousness. We get righteousness by genuine faith, not by works or what we do. And so this type of works or faith that James is talking about in these verses talks about genuine faith that has production of works and fruit for people to see. If people don't see anything different about us, why are they going to listen to us? How are they going to tell us that we're saved and Christians? We've got to show it by our looks, by how we act, by what we say, what we do, where we go, what we think. And so Abraham believed God, genuine faith, and was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was called a friend of God. Now in Genesis 15:1, for example, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, was before he was named Abraham, father of many nations. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. He had no children. And he said, In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, but you give me no seed, no child. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, He shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, tell and number the stars, so I'll be able to number them. Billions and billions of galaxies, and each of the galaxies billions of stars. We can't even see all of them. Number them. He said unto him, So shall thy seed be. That means he's going to have a child, and the child is going to have children, the children are going to have children, right on down. So shall thy seed be. And then in verse number 6, he believed in the Lord. He believed that God was going to give him a child, a son, Isaac. But now he says, offer him on the altar. He believed, and it was counted to him, reckoned to him for righteousness. Strong, genuine faith is what gives us God's righteousness. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God the Father has made him the Son to be sin for us in our place, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ, by genuine faith. We're made the righteousness of God. In Romans 4 and verse 5, and verse 3 rather, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, trusted God, genuine faith. It was counted unto him for righteousness. Again, it's repeated in Galatians 3 and verse 6. Abraham believed God, trusted in God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. The genuine faith is what brings us righteousness. But genuine faith should produce works and fruits so people can behold and can see. A tree is alive, and if it's a fruit tree, we know that it's alive when it begins to bear fruit. We know when it's alive when it begins in the springtime and the summertime to bring leaves on the tree. That's like fruit, to know there's life that is there. And so Abraham believed in the Lord. It was counted and reckoned to him for righteousness. Let's read verse number 24 together. He see then how by works is a man justified, and not by faith only. That's why people hate James. They say, oh, there's a contradiction here. Man is justified by works, not by faith. No contradiction with Paul. James is talking about justified before people and men and women as they see us. That's the only one that they can do to justify us, is to see what we do, what we say, our works. They cannot see our genuine faith or fake faith. They can't see anything that's in us. We can talk a million words, but they can't see genuine faith justified before men and women by works, what we do, not by faith only. Now, as far as, again, justified by faith in Acts 13:39, Paul said, by him, that is by the Lord Jesus Christ, all that believe, of the Jews or Gentiles, are justified from all things, from which you couldn't be justified by the law of Moses. And then in Romans 3:24, we know that one, let's say that one, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then in Romans 3:26, to declare his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Not the ones that work. He's just because Lord Jesus paid for the sins of all of us. He's justified because he makes people just who genuinely believe in Christ. He's a justifier. The one that makes us is those that believe in Jesus. And then in Romans 3:28, we conclude a man is justified by faith. This verse says we're justified by works. We're justified by faith for the Lord. Genuine faith justifies us before the Lord, but works justifies us before people. That's why they can see there's something inside of us, what they see outside of us. And so justified by faith without the deeds of the law with the Lord. In Romans 4:5, we said that before, let's say it again.
To him that worketh not,
but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Justified the ungodly, his faith is counted before God. And we've said this before too, let's say it again, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Before God, we're justified by faith. But before people, we're justified by what we do. We're declared righteous by what we do. If we live unrighteously, they don't see our works, they don't think we have genuine faith. And that's true. We've got to have fruit that can go along with what we believe in our faith. In Galatians 3:24, the law was just a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith.
Amen.
Not by the law, but by the faith. And so these are things that are so clear in James. And James does not deny justification before the Lord by faith. He denies justification before people by faith alone without any good works. People can't see it. Well, here's another illustration. Let's read verse number 25 together. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers that had sent them out another way? Here's a harlot woman. God said, I want you to surround Jericho. I want you to go 7 times, and I want to have all the walls fall down. But God spared this harlot and her family that was in there. The scarlet line was let down on the wall. God miraculously made that wall fall down, and just as miraculously let that place where they were staying on the wall stand. God saved Rahab and the harlot, former harlot, and her household. Now, why is this a picture of how Rahab was justified by works? You wouldn't think a harlot had any good works or any faith. But in Joshua 2:1, Rahab is used that name 10 different times in the scripture. But Joshua the son of Nun sent out to Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. Remember, they sent out 12 spies on Moses' time, but here Jericho, just 2. Caleb and Joshua are the only 2 that came back with a good report. So forget the 12. Just send 2. That's all we need is 2. Send 2 men to Jericho. And they went. They came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Apparently she was a former harlot. I hope she was a former. And she was practicing when these 2 men were there. And then in Joshua 2:6. And she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. Then Joshua 2:9-15, Rahab the harlot said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us. The faith that she had in the Lord God of Israel was genuine. But she's going to show now by her works how that faith in her was genuine, by what she did. I know the terror of mine, I know the Lord has given you the land. She had faith in the Lord. And all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when he came out of Egypt. What you did unto the two kings of the Amorites. They knew all of this at Jericho. They were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Our hearts did melt. They were shocked at the power of God and the Lord. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above. That's her state of faith. That's her statement of faith. Her conversion to the Lord. He is God of heaven and earth above and the earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray to you, she was convicted to trust by faith in the Lord. All the power, all the miracles he's done for her. But now she's going to show by her works, her deeds, that she believed in the Lord by faith. And he said, nevertheless, I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver the lives from death. And the men answered, our life for yours. If ye utter not this, our business, it shall be, the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord to the window, escaped by the wall, a cord, for her house was upon the town, and dwelt upon the wall. So the fruit of Rahab's faith was, she let the spies escape. She didn't tell that the spies were there. Their lives were hers. And she trusted the Lord. She had genuine faith in the Lord to deliver. And she let them down. And the faith was given. And works followed and deeds that people could see. Let's read verse number 26 together. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The body without the spirit. When death comes, spirit and soul leave the body. And that's death. There's all kinds of definition of death, whether it's physical death or clinical death or whatever kind of death, but we know that from the scriptural position, when the spirit and soul leave the body, that's it. Mm-hmm. There's no more life, it's death. And so, faith, again, this is an article of faith, this is a general doctrine. Doctrinal faith, the scriptures and the doctrines of the Bible, without any works, is dead also. Just dead, it's empty. And I know, if people have genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, are they saved without their works? Yes, they're saved. But they're saved in a dead way. There's no fruit, they're not communicating that faith to anybody else. And God is disgusted with us if we only have his faith to ourselves and never can we branch out and if I can see that faith with fruitfulness in the work. In Titus 3 and verse 14, we read this before, but let me repeat it. Let ours, that is our Christians here, Titus, your pastor there in the Isle of Crete, I want you, Titus, to remember, let ours, those who are in your church at Crete, also learn to maintain good works. Be saved, yes, but good works for necessary uses that they be not unfruitful. Titus 3:14. They be not unfruitful. They're saved, but they're fruitless if there's not genuine works that go with the faith. Let's not be unfruitful. Let's have fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. There's all kinds of different fruit. By their fruits you shall know them. And in John chapter 15, the vine is one thing, but I want you to bear fruit, much fruit. And without fruit, nobody can see that there's a vine that's got life in it. And so in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, the Apostle Peter said, if these things be in you and abound, these doctrines, these scriptures, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Barrenness and unfruitfulness. We've got to have things that go along with our faith. And Peter was right, and Paul was right, right here, Titus. Then as far as fruit is concerned and fruitfulness, there's some verses on that. We mentioned John 15. But in verse 5, the Lord Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, stays with me, rests in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. If we abide in Christ and he in us, if we're genuinely saved, we should. The normal thing is to bring forth fruit. It doesn't necessarily mean we have to lead people to Christ. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But other kinds of fruit, the fruit in our life, our joy, our happiness, our redemption, how we look, how we talk, how we act, things we do, what we give, what we don't give to the Lord, where we go, where we don't go, I mean, what we say, what we don't say, this is fruit. This is a different type of a life. People can recognize us once we're genuinely saved by what we do and don't do. I was saved as a young lad of 16. I would be 17 in two more months, a high school student. But what I did before I was saved, took me a while to scrap all the things, but I tell you, there was a difference. And those people in my class saw the difference. Believe me, they did. But fruit, after the life is joined to Christ, should be evident. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Took me a little longer now. I knew it wasn't right for me to dance once I was saved. That was clear. I was a dancer. My mom sent me to a special place in the school to teach dancing. So I knew how to dance. I was a dancer. Once I was saved, I knew that was not for me. That's the first step. But I had a 15-piece dance band. And I kept on the dance band for a while. Finally, someone said, wait a minute. I know you don't dance anymore, but what you got this dance band, what are the other people dancing? I got the point. Got rid of that dance band. But it takes a while. But once you're saved, there's a life that goes with it that people can see. And the Lord said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me, I am the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me you can do nothing, absolutely nothing. And then in John 15, verse 8, Lord Jesus again said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. He wants to be fruit-bearing Christians. We know that verse in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. Nine different parts of the fruit of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is given to everyone who's genuinely saved, inside of our bodies. And the fruit of the Spirit is the result of walking in the Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God, rather than in our old flesh, that will lead us astray. And then in John 15, verse 16, Lord Jesus again, you've not chosen me, you apostles. I've chosen you. I ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. I have ordained you that you go and bring forth fruit, and God wants every one of us who are genuinely saved to bring forth fruit. Now, your fruit may not be the same as my fruit, but we should have results in the life that people can see and can say. I was in the office of a person not too long ago. He was a medical man, and he was an older man. And in fact, he was 68 years of age, still practicing. And I said, why are you still practicing when you're 68? Because I love what I do. I love what I do. And I said, well, I'm the same way. I said, get out of here. I still preach the word. I put on the application. He knew I was a Baptist minister. And anyway, I love what I do. And what he says, I can see that. That's a testimony. Dear doctor, and may others see in us the love we have for our Savior, not only by our genuine faith, but what our actions, our deeds, our life, our speech, our prayers, whatever it may be, that we may have a biblical view of faith, genuine faith. It's faith that saves. Not the faith like the devils and demons have, that tremble, superficial faith, but biblical faith, genuine faith that saves our souls from sin, as Abraham had, as Rabbi Harlan had, justify us by faith. Biblical understanding of faith. But also, may we have a biblical understanding of works. Not that works will save us, works will never save us. But after we're saved, God looks upon us for fruit bearing and for works and things that others can see, that we may glorify Him with what we do and what we say, where we go, and all the things about us. Biblical understanding of both faith and works. And I hope that we've solved the problem of the battle between Paul and James. Paul's writings and James' writings. Those that say James is no good, is foolish, throw it out. And that's what Luther and some of those early people said. We don't want to throw it out. Keep on both of them. Paul, with genuine faith, justified before God. And James, works that justify us before people that can see us what we do. He doesn't deny genuine faith, James does not. But he also says we've got to couple that faith with works. Paul, in fact, doesn't stop with just faith. He also has works. So we must have a biblical view of both faith, what it is, what isn't, and works, what those are, and how we should go about it. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy words. We thank Thee for James, all these different teachings. Thank Thee for Abraham, who trusted in Thee, even taking his own son, and almost sacrificed him. Thou didst say he did sacrifice him because he believed. Thou wouldst raise him up if need be. Give us genuine faith in our Savior. Help us to walk with Him and talk with Him and pray with Him and live for Him. And may our faith produce genuine fruit in our lives, what we do, how we look, what we say. And those of us who are not saved in our church here or listening by other means, may they have a genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may be justified, declared righteous by Thee in genuine faith. Help us, Lord, to live for Thee and trust Thee in all that we do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Take our hymnals again. Turn to hymn number 295. 295. Wonderful words of life. Let's say the verse together. Open thy mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalm 119, 18. 295. for coming. Hope you join us as Wednesdays as you can. Back at 1:30 for Bible study in the book of 1 John. Well, Sam, if you could stand close in a word of prayer. Good fishing.
Dear Father in heaven, we just thank you, Lord, for the privilege to worship you. Please forgive us, Lord, for any sins that we've committed against you. Please let all the words that we've heard today, Father, be planted into our hearts, that we might bear fruit, and you might be glorified through that. Please grant us traveling mercy, Lord, as we travel to Wendy's together for food. We just thank you, Lord, for everything that you are and everything that you've done. We pray through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.